smile.
You're tuned to What's on Your Mind. I'm Steve Bakken along with Scott Hennon on KFIRE 550, 910 KCJB in Minot, 1460 KLTC in Dickinson, AM 1100 The Flag in Fargo, and AM 1090 The Flag in Tioga. We're talking with Senators Rich Wardner and Representative Al Carlson concerning the latest legislative session. Gentlemen, I wanted to know about higher education. A lot of talk been going on with higher education and the bickering that's going on. The biggest thing for North Dakota residents is sending your kids off to school at whether it's one of the great institutions across the state, because we do have a great educational system in higher ed, but that tuition rate keeps going up and going up and going up, despite the fact that they keep getting more money.
Well, there's no question.
That's true, and I will say that I thought we, you know, ongoing money for operations and stuff was about 12% for the higher university system. It was $72.4 million. There should have been enough money to take care of the needs of the university. So we're just waiting and seeing. I know that they're talking about raising the tuition, but I've been told there's some second thoughts to that, so we'll find out.
Al, your thoughts?
Well, there's always the a biennium ago we said we were going to cap tuition at 2.5%, and they came to us, the board, and the chancellor said, "Don't do that. We'll be good stewards." And we weren't home more than a week, and they raised it 8.8% at NDSU. Now they probably needed the money, but they raised it 8.8%. So this time we were going to cap them. We kind of give them some parameters to work by, and they're very generous. But you also have to look at what they're getting. For the state of North Dakota to say that all our kids end up with this great big debt, they probably do. But maybe we should be doing a little more to get programs where we actually graduate kids in 4 years. And we should say that if you compare us to the region, we are still a great buy for higher education. The key is, what are they getting for it? And we're going to try and take at least, I think the legislature's approach will be, is we need to look at K through 16. You know, why do we have so many kids that need remedial when they hit the college level? You know, we need to make sure that they're coming with those skills, not only when they're in college, but before they get there. So we need accountability for the dollars, and I think we're trying to build that in as we go. Accountability that these kids are competitive when they get there, that have the right skills. We raised education funding, higher ed, like Senator Wardner said, about 12.6%. We had a new funding model. Some of the schools that were shortchanged on equity before, for example, NDSU ended up with an equity payment of about $6.4 million. And it'd be the first session that I've come home in four sessions where they haven't said they were underfunded by the way that we did it. So we made some real improvements in the formula. It's not perfect yet, but it's a lot better based on the kids in the seat and the completed credit hours. So I think higher ed came out just fine. Now we want accountability for that. We hope, and I agree with Senator Wardner, we hope that they're very conscious of the fact that we're very concerned that they keep raising these tuition rates, because they were properly funded this time, in our opinion.
Al, how do you work with a system that, like you said, quote-unquote, will be good stewards, flat-out lied to the legislature and went ahead and were not good stewards? How do you work with that?
Well, there's always been this, is or is not the Board of Higher Education the fourth branch of government? And they play that card on us once in a while. And I don't want to criticize the board members, because it's a thankless job, those eight volunteers, to try and run a $3 billion enterprise. And that's why we passed a measure that goes to the people that allows for that to be a full-time group of three running higher education, appointed by the governor, because we think it's beyond the point where those volunteers can do the job they need to do to manage it. We need to do some clarifying as to the role of the college presidents compared to the chancellor. I mean, there's some real inherent problems in the system right now. The good news is they keep the legislature off the front page of the paper most of the time, because they're there. and it causes consternation. And we understand how important that these 11 institutions are to the 11 communities that they reside in. And we know that they all have a function. We need to refocus. Almost $1 billion going into higher ed this time.
I always get a sense, though, that the higher ed controversies, if you will, are more, tied to the valley. You know, obviously because of the presence of NDSU and UND, they seem to be a bigger deal Castleton East than they do Castleton West. Rich, what's your take? I mean, obviously Dickinson had his fair share of governance issues and some bumps, but when you talk to your constituents, are they hopping mad about higher ed governance?
Yeah, there's some out here that feel that we spend way too much money on higher ed. They feel that the state of North Dakota is subsidizing students from other states. There's that controversy here too. Dickinson State is kind of recovering from that situation that happened, which was unfortunate, and they're getting back on track, and give them another year or so and they'll be back where they were before that all happened.
Adam has a question by Facebook. And by the way, Rich Fordner and Al Carlson taking your questions for a couple more minutes here. If you have any other questions or comments about the recently completed North Dakota legislative session, you're welcome to call 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Adam says, speaking of education, has there been any discussion on removing the Common Core state standards from our state's education system? It's the catalyst for a massive race to the mediocre middle. On K through 12, Common Core concerns, Al, first?
You know, I'm not enough an expert of exactly what Common Core he's referring to because I don't handle that budget, but I can tell you that we need to make sure that our kids can master the basics, reading, writing, arithmetic, and science, if they're going to be competitive in the future. I can't tell them how that relates to that, but I know that we need to strengthen all of our core curriculum and make sure that those kids are very proficient at those levels and hold them accountable for it.
Rich, anything you want to add to that?
Well, no, we want a high-quality education. I was an educator, and we want to make sure that in those classrooms, there's high-quality education taking place. But before we go, could I answer the guy that got after us right before the break about not enough for senior citizens and people in homes, low-income people? Could I just make a quick comment there?
Of course. Sure. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I would just like to point out that the Department of Human Services is a 2.7-plus budget. That's 2.7 billion-dollar budget. We increased it $159 million, plus we had to put another $93 million in there that the federal government quit paying because we're doing so well in the state. It's called FMAP. I would just like to point out that all of that money, most of it goes to children and senior citizens. Again, most of the Department of Human Services goes to children and senior citizens. Second, we also have continued the Housing Incentive Fund, which is monies to build housing for people on low incomes, affordable housing. Third, we passed Homestead Credit, which is a property tax paid for people on disability and seniors on fixed income, $10 million. We added to that pot to make it $27 million. So there are people that say that we're kicking old people out of their homes with this property tax, when in fact we do have a program that pays for all or a huge part of their property tax. So those aren't things that make the news, but those things will happen too. Thank you.
Also, before we go, I wanted to ask you, Rich Evers, or rather Al, about the outcome on flood protection. There was a lot of back and forth about state participation in federal funding. The ultimate product was what?
Well, in the end, it was a great product. And they, people get all excited, but we didn't design a project. We don't approve the project. The question all along is, what's the state role in funding the project? We already put $175 million aside for Fargo in the last three bienniums. We made a promise to increase that to $450 million over the next four bienniums. So if and when this all goes forward, they'll be able to access the rest of the money for the diversion. And plus everything we have, $135 million today they can use for out at the Oxbow area. They can use $70 million for interior diking in Fargo, and they can bank some of it for the day that they get all their authorization and funding for the diversion. So the end up product is the valley turned out very well. $550 million we put of new money into water projects across the state. We put $2.7 billion in roads. We put $50 billion into low-income housing. We put $219 million into oil impact grants out west. I mean, that's just a list of a few. And all that was one-time money that we spent from our excess revenue. And we still were able to hold our ongoing expense of general government to about 5.5% a year. So I think we had a good session. And you know, that it can be criticized because the numbers are massive. But I think we addressed where the needs were, and if the money goes away, those one-time projects are gone.
Let's get to a couple quick callers. Susan, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, just a comment about the Common Core curriculum that was brought up. I think there should be some investigation into what that actually is. I don't think it's going to get us to our goal of a high-quality education in North Dakota. The way it's structured, I think it's more of an outcome-based program. And
Susan,
then also,
we're up against the break. Can you hang on, Susan? We'll ask the guests to hang on just so they can answer the other question you have. Also, John from Bismarck wants to weigh in, but we're up against the break.
Okay.
So hold tight if you would. We'll be right back with you on What's on Your Mind with Al Carlson and Rich Warder recapping the legislative session. Don't go away. Did you know there were 78 credit unions in North and South Dakota with assets in excess of $4.2 billion and nearly a half a million credit union members? Credit unions play a very important role in the financial landscape of the Dakotas. They're unique in their structure. They're member-owned, not-for-profit financial cooperatives that return their earnings back to members. Unfortunately, most folks and even our policymakers don't understand that. Credit unions exist to help people, not make a profit. And credit unions operate under the philosophy of people helping people. That philosophy works well in the Dakotas, so the credit unions can serve their members, including those of modest means, providing credit at reasonable rates and other financial services to members. And they work hard to assist their members to become better educated consumers of financial services. Find out more at CUontheRoad.org. CU as in credit union, ontheroad.org. And on their Facebook page, the Credit Union Association of the Dakotas.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT 5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What's in your mind? I'm Steve Bakken with Scott Hennen on KFIRE 550 at 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Susan, thanks for holding on. Did you want to finish your question?
Yes, I just had another comment and question about the Human Services Department budget. That's one of the largest budgets in the state. In this last legislative session, I had a senator tell me that it costs the North Dakota taxpayer $100,000 per recipient of monies from the Human Services Department. I'm wondering, are there some issues here that should be addressed? Do we have a bloated department? There in administrative costs, redundancy in programs, or what's going on here that it's costing the taxpayer $100,000 per recipient of funds from that department.
Rich, you mentioned the investment in the Human Services budget. We'll have you take that one. And also, if you could, as a former educator, comment on the Common Core state standards as well, because that's coming up from a lot of listeners.
Okay, first of all, take the Common Core. The Common Core program is a methodology of providing education, and that is normally done with the local school districts and the Department of Public Instruction. At this point, the legislature really has not weighed in on it because it's something that is taken care of by the DPI and the local school boards and the local school districts. And then as far as the Department of Public or the Department of Human Services, I don't know. I question that number. All I know is that many of the programs are mandated by the federal government. Medicaid and Medicare are a part of that whole system, so we're providing health care for older people. The state has to pick up a big tab of that. So when we talk about the Department of Human Services, the money goes to, as I said, senior citizens. They get the biggest share of it. Then you have the children, and then, of course, you have the developmentally disabled people that are involved there. Also, nursing homes. We provide care for those people that can't afford to be put in a nursing home. And, you know, maybe it does cost a lot of money there, and there's no question about it. But that's where the money goes. It goes to the children and to the seniors.
Susan, thanks for the call. Another one waiting. John and Bismarck, question for our guest. Al Carlson, House Majority Leader. Rich Wardner, Senate Majority Leader, recapping the recently wrapped up North Dakota legislative session. I've been very generous with their time, taking your questions today at 800-228-0550. Go ahead, John.
Hello. This question here is for Al. I was up there visiting with you during legislation about child support, and you turned me over to your intern. Swept under the rug. You guys never did a thing about child support, and you guys keep saying the money's for the children. That money don't reach the children. It goes to the moms, and it gets spent. You have no idea where the money goes. I never got an answer back, and you knew exactly you weren't going to help. I wonder why.
Well, the fact that we weren't trying to help is not correct. You brought it to us. I gave it to my guy. He checked with the I'm not an expert on child support laws, but I can tell you that when somebody comes to us, we try and check to see what can be done. Our job is to pass a law that makes it fair and equitable. We did not. There were no laws this time that were brought forward dealing with child support. I understand that sometimes with the deadbeat dads, that like they call them, in which you're not one of, that sometimes there's guys that don't pay, but on the other hand, there's guys that are paying and the money's not getting to the right place. We can try and work on that in the interim for you, but honestly, I didn't have that in the top. I didn't get it done for you this session, and there was no bills addressing it directly. So I'm sorry that we didn't have a solution for you.
How many people do what John did? Just literally come right up and say, hey, I have a question, get me an answer. How many people actually...
Well, there's a few, but John came in the office, and I said, John, I don't have time to take care of this personally. I'll have my guy check on it for you. I'm sorry we don't have an answer for him, but we made sure that we at least attempted to make the contact with him and see if we could find the right person or the right solution.
But do you,
and we'll continue to follow up on that for John now that we're not in a session.
John, appreciate the call. And both of you and Rich, before we let you go, I'm curious, you know, what percentage of interaction is with voters, if you will, citizens versus, professionals or folks that are there and know the system. It seems to me you see a lot of school kids up there. You see a lot of folks that interact with the legislation. It's really quite an experience to be part of. I mean, is there a lot of people that engage and come up there and connect with you? Rich, you go first.
Okay. Well, no, there aren't as many as that should. But I will tell you, I welcome everyone that comes to the Capitol to my office. And if they have an issue, for example, I asked mayors from out west here when we were talking about impact, come and talk to me. My office was open. I know Al's office is open. There is no question that the everyday citizen doesn't think they're welcome up there, and I'm telling you, they are.
You know, the doors are always open because it's their building. It's not ours. The good news is we go home and live, Scott, under the same laws we pass. We're just regular folks that we have the privilege of being there, and when we're all done, and we're about done here, Scott, I just want to give you a couple highlights before we're done. We talk about accomplishments and where North Dakota's at, and everybody says, well, thank God that there was oil, and you had God on your side. Well, I'd rather pick him than anybody else for having oil. Big ag and big oil and a diversified economy. But here's some of the things that how we rank across the nation. And this is a big deal for a little state of 700,000 people. Number two in the nation in entrepreneurship rank, fastest growing population in the nation, number one in job creation, number one in economic growth, best run state in the nation by Wall Street, average wages up almost $20,000 or 80% since 2000, personal income up 93% since 2000, and that's just a few of the things that we're on the radar map. We're on the map of people saying North Dakota is a place to do business. It's open for business. It's still good quality of life. It's a great state to be in. We think we made that better in our tax structure, in our accountability, and the quality of our schools and our higher education system. We have great programs for taking care of the elderly. We put $50 million into housing programs across the state to answer the guy's question. So we're pretty proud of the accomplishments we've done. Johnny Raincloud can come out and say we didn't take care of everybody, and that's probably true. But on the other hand, there's a different philosophy between the parties, and some see the glass half full and some see half empty, and some see a reduction in increases or cut. I guess how we look at it.
Al, I want to get to one more quick caller before the break. Greg in Bismarck, what's on your mind today?
Well, I just wanted to say thanks to you guys. You both know me. This is Greg Larson. And as a realtor, I want to thank you for all you did with property tax. And I'm going to toss you a softball, guys. Are you done with this? Is this all you're going to do for property tax in North Dakota? We're going to do? No, I think we're going to continue now and next session. Work on it. Oh, are we going to do it more next session?
Yeah, between now and next session, what are you going to do?
What are we going to be doing? Well, we're going to be looking at ways that we can increase on property taxes, make it better, and make it more applicable for the people of North Dakota. I'll just give you one example. We're looking at the social services at the county level, at the possibility of taking that over, because the state mandates what is done there. We would take it. That would take 20-some mills off.
Very interesting. We're going to have to leave it there. Greg and Bismarck, thank you. Al Carlson, Rich Wardner, thank you. We appreciate it very much. More coming up on What's on Your Mind. Folks, don't go away.
On your mind after these messages.
Hardworking trucks. Three brands to choose from on one lot at Nelson Auto Center in Fergus Falls. America's favorite brand. Ford F-Series, GMC Sierra, or Ram. Drive all three and compare and never leave our lot. Plus, we'll deliver your new truck free within 300 miles. Check our website, nelsonfergusfalls.com. You'll see our prices, our inventory, and our great selection of three truck brands. Seven new brands all in one lot. Nelson Auto Center. Visit online anytime, nelsonfergusfalls.com. Exit 54, Fergus Falls.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel Body Armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
7.
This message dares all fish oil consumers. Yes, many people now take fish oil supplements, but the makers of K48 Plus want you to know it's not what you consume, but how it is absorbed that counts. So we dare you to compare fish oil with K48 Plus. K48 Plus, an omega-3 powerhouse, is made with the highest grade and most potent dose of krill oil available, and is 48 times more easily absorbed than common fish oil. K48 Plus is both a remarkable anti-inflammatory as well as a powerful antioxidant. If you suffer from ailments such as diabetes, COPD, autism, arthritis, depression, migraines, lupus, Alzheimer's, glaucoma, joint pain, high cholesterol, memory loss, or Crohn's disease, you need to see the K48 Plus video at livepremium.net. That's L-I-V-E premium.net. Or please call 208-521-3601. That's 208-521-3601 and ask about K48 Plus. Restore hope, optimize health with K48 Plus.
And I'm Scott Hennen. Steve, one of our hot topics yesterday was whether it was a good idea for the North Dakota Chamber to put up a billboard and engage in a campaign letting Minnesotans know that North Dakota was open for business. And the vast majority of our callers called and said, well, what's wrong with that statement? It's a true statement. Someone that didn't like the idea was Mark Hintemeyer. Mark is a city council member in Moorhead, and we quoted him yesterday from some of the stories, and he today agreed to join us and talk a little bit about this topic and take some calls from some of those listeners that thought that campaign was perfectly fine yesterday. So 800-228-0550. In the hot seat today, Mark Hintemeyer, city council member from Moorhead, our guest on the program we call What's on Your Mind. We're going to switch microphones. Mr. Hintemeyer,
I'm here.
Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Steve Bakken's on the other end of the line here with you as well.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Mark.
So, first of all, you hear about this campaign, this billboard. You see the North Dakota open for business, and what's your first reaction?
Well, Thursday I was at a ribbon-cutting ceremony on 28th Avenue, which is just across the interstate at a new YMCA office. And I turned around, and I see the billboard, and I go, wow, when did that come up? I took a picture, texted it to the city manager. I said, hey, what's going on? Do we know anything about that? Subsequent to that, I understood then that it was the North Dakota Chamber. And then, you know, I was really upset as I saw it. And you recall, I'm a Minnesota Moorhead city council member. You know, we're a community of 40,000. I saw it as a divider, not a uniter. In the city of Moorhead, we have great relationships with Fargo, West Fargo, Dilworth. We're a community that cooperates across the border on numerous, numerous issues. And we all work together. We, on our side, we contribute over $100,000 to the Greater Fargo-Moorhead Economic Development Corporation. We have ties across that river. And the border, we tend to unite across the border to make the whole metro area a better place to live for everybody. And to plop down a sign right in the middle of my community, actually almost in my front yard, I'd live two blocks away, that suggests that somehow Moorhead is not a place to do business as well, upset me. And I think it's upset a lot of people in the city of Moorhead.
Mark, if you're not calling out Moorhead specific or Minnesota specific, mm-hmm. it's just a sign. Why get your ire up on something that doesn't have a finger pointed at you unless there's a little guilt involved?
Well, I don't know. If you put a sign in my yard that is criticizing or somehow implying that we are not a good place for business to locate as well, I can take objection to that. I've tried to think this and put this analogy because it's obviously where people sit. But I would bet that if we are the size of Minot, if Bismarck puts a sign in Minot that says, hey, businesses in Minot, why don't you relocate to Bismarck? I suggest that you will have the same concern from those elected leaders in Minot.
Let's go to the phone, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Craig, what is on your mind today?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Say, I got a question for your guest. Have you lived in Minnesota all your life?
It's a tough question. I've been a resident of Minnesota for a long time. I'm active duty military, so I moved around about every 3 years. I've actually lived in Grand Forks. I was a Cold War person, ICBMs, nuclear weapons. I lived in Grand Forks. I actually lived in Minot. And then I moved to California, Oklahoma, Alabama, and that type of thing. But I've been in Minnesota since 1992. I got an assignment back. I was actually the commander of the MEPS processing station here in downtown Fargo, and retired in 1999 as a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. So I was active duty military, so that's a tough... I mean, I moved around the country, but obviously been in the Midwest, and I recognize a sense of community spirit that's in the Midwest that, for those people that have moved around the country, would recognize this may not be there.
I thank you for your service, but I was just wondering, can you at least explain a little bit how Minnesota ever got in to the financial state for us people that don't live in Minnesota? And
right.
And I was just wondering if you could explain to us a little bit what your knowledge is of how Minnesota ever got in the pickle that it's in. Thank you.
Yeah, you know that's a good question. From the context of this billboard, though, I think I'm not a state rep, Senator. I have no control over what happens in St. Paul. I'm an elected leader in the city of Moorhead. We have border cities legislation that attempts to bring some parity, and actually our effective tax rate for businesses and property taxes is essentially the same as North Dakota through the border cities legislation. We also have money set aside for the border cities, which East Grand Forks, Moorhead, Breckenridge, Ortonville, and Dilworth, that helps offset some of the workman comp issues. So on one level, we struggle to unite across the border in the metro area, and we, like I said, this is one community in some sense where the border is diminished. That sign seeks to divide. The message seeks to divide. The other issue from mine, and I'm not taking responsibility for anything that goes on at St. Paul, though there's elected leaders, you can have that discussion of where and what you think policies are and are not beneficial to the state of Minnesota. But I would tell you the other issue that really concerns me is this message is poking the very folks that the state legislature and the governor, in my view, is poking those folks in the eye to sign off on a diversion that the Corps will say benefits North Dakota, 96% to 97% of the benefits go to North Dakota. I watched your legislature on the North Dakota side grapple with the diversion, and because of some Herculean efforts and some negotiations back and forth, that's a very sensitive issue in the state of North Dakota. But what I don't understand is why, and I'm told these signs were scheduled to go up in the Twin Cities, we already, in the Minnesota political sense, the Twin Cities dominate the agenda, and Greater Minnesota is constantly in a kind of a tussle with policies that affect us out here. So how did Minnesota get to where they are? You know, I don't know. It's long term. That's a very long discussion. I can just tell you that the sign, which has raised my ire, and I think will bring about some concerned brings some concern in my mind, is the message that it sends at this point in time is not beneficial to the uniting across the border and for the progression of the diversion.
Shouldn't your ire, though, be directed at the legislature that's created this environment? I mean, I would hope you'd be as ticked at the Minnesota legislature for giving the North Dakota chamber the opportunity to put these billboards up.
Right. Now, two comments for that. The local chamber, I want to applaud. They understand that message, and they were very quick to come to the defense and call for the sign to come down as well, because
we should
understand that.
And we did mention that yesterday, but we should tell folks the Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo,
which
chambers
we are a member, exactly,
are together. So there's two North Dakota cities and a Minnesota city, part
exactly
of the Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo chamber. Their president, Craig Whitney, came out and was critical of the state chamber on this.
Right.
But I would, obviously he has Minnesota members, so he's in a kind of a tough position.
Well, the tough position is he understands the situation, what we're trying to do in the community, where we are where the border is diminished, where we're united across that border. This message, as they understand it, divides us across the border, and that's the problem. Your other comment about that. We have, the city of Moorhead spends just something under $200,000 trying to affect policy at the state capitol. to the benefit of what we consider in Western Minnesota and the border cities, trying to mediate some of those issues that so that we can compete across the border. So we do try to affect that, but that's a broader issue.
We're talking with our guest discussing the sign, and my biggest question is, why is this any different than when I drive across North Dakota and look at a sign that says, come fish in Minnesota, come spend your vacation time in Minnesota, come spend all your money here in Minnesota on vacation? I don't look at that as any different. With the tourism signs that Minnesota puts up to try to attract business into Minnesota, whether it's from Wisconsin or Iowa or North or South Dakota or up into the Ontario or Manitoba, I don't see a difference in that. What's the difference in trying to track business? It's a level playing field. It's just saying, hey, we're open for business. I don't see it pointing a finger at Minnesota, just saying, hey, we have options here. Maybe you should look at them.
Yeah, I guess where I sit, I do see it as a significant difference. The notion of tourism and how you go to states is interesting. I think that's part of it. What this does is, because of the location of the sign and the sense that we as a chamber and as a community here are see the border where we try to minimize the notion of the border between two states and two cities, the notion that let me back up. We are in associations with Fargo and West Fargo to bring business into the entire metro area. Which helps each other.
Right. In other
By
words,
popping this sign down, I mean, I would have been happy. You probably wouldn't see me if I said North Dakota and Moorhead are open for business.
Well, essentially, that's what they're saying, though, aren't they? I mean,
no, they're not. I mean, unfortunately.
What I'm saying is if a business locates in Fargo, Moorhead benefits, right? You have to say the employees might buy a home over there, they might shop over there. I mean, it helps the metro area.
We do, but we expect our share of business locating in our community too, because that property tax base is important for us in schools and roads and everything we have to fund.
But to Steve's point, the Mark mm-hmm. Hittemeyer, by the way, is whether city council member from Moorhead, Minnesota, taking exception with the Greater North Dakota Chamber campaign saying, hey, North Dakota's open for business. This happens, right? South Dakota's governor went to Minnesota on a business recruitment campaign. They got kiosks at the Mall of America. I mean, North Dakota's business climate is better than Minnesota. Would you agree?
I would agree on one level, although we 18 Fortune 500 companies in the state of Minnesota.
Suffering right now.
Well, there's none in North Dakota. What I'm trying to do is de-escalate this. I'm trying to unite us in the same fashion that we do across the cities already. And I'm saying this is not productive in that attempt to unify us. The other thing that is bigger than this, though, and why I was trying in the past, these words mean more than just the few number of words they are. You are asking the state of Minnesota, the state legislature, and the governor to back a $2 billion project that we all know will benefit Fargo's ability to build south in the floodplain and develop business down there. If you're going to make it a competitive issue on business, I don't think it's a great leap for the state of Minnesota, the legislature, and the governor to say, fine, do it some other way, because you need more. You need Minnesota's cooperation to build that diversion. I don't know why you want to pick a fight with those folks.
Short break.
Kindermeyer.
Yeah. Should we take a break, Steve?
Let's take a break. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. We're talking with Mark Hintermeyer, Moorhead City Council. What are your thoughts? Is North Dakota open for business?
You're listening to What's on Your Mind with Steve Bakken and Scott Hannon. We'll be right back after these messages.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger Pro Crop tractors like the MT 5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City, And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
I want to tell you about a North Dakota product that gets rid of odors, the bad smells. This product is out of Zeeland, North Dakota. Daryl, tell us about odor medicine. What kind of smells can it destroy?
What odor medicine does, it destroys the odor molecule. Basically, you can kill skunk smell, cat urine. You can mold, musty smells. If you got a camper that had a refrigerator that went out that's got a stinky smell in the refrigerator, it'll destroy the odor in that refrigerator permanently. And that's what it does. It basically destroys the odor so the odor will not come back. We give it 100% guarantee. If that smell ever comes back, call us up. We'll refund your money.
The stench of rotting meat in a freezer that lost power. Think of that. That odor destroyed. If you go to GetRidOfSmellNow.com, use the promo code SCOTT, get 10% off your order, plus free priority shipping. GetRidOfSmellNow.com, 100% money-back guarantee. You can't beat it, and it's North Dakota made.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
What's on your mind? I'm Steve Bach, along with Scott Hennon. We're talking with Moorhead City Council member Mark Hintermeyer. Let's go to the phone. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Is North Dakota open for business? And Debbie, what's on your mind today?
Well, I guess I just had a little comment to make about the the city councilman from Minnesota.
Yes, it's Mark Hintermeyer. Mark can hear you.
Yep.
Okay. I feel like that you understand the context and probably how and why the signs were put up. And I don't believe that they were put up to taunt anybody or to throw darts at anybody or to make someone in Minnesota feel bad. I actually feel like, in all due respect, that much about it is being made doesn't need to be made, and I feel like that thou dost protest too much, and that by doing so, you're really actually making the controversy much worse than what it really is. And that's just my opinion. So I think that it can, by you protesting about the signs, can actually cause much more division than uniting and coming together. So that's how I feel.
Sure, good comments. Have you seen, I wonder if she got, has she seen the sign? Unfortunately,
But it's really, it's hard to...
You can't miss the sign.
Well, I know, but I mean, and the sign could be a positive, right? North Dakota open for business. I mean, that's all in the eye of the beholder. I think what you're worried about, it seems to me, Mark, is you're saying, hey, if you really want flood protection, you want state participation in it, don't go poking the state of Minnesota in the eye.
There's two things. That is definitely one of them. This is not the time to pick a fight with the state legislature and the governor. And this is a confrontational type thing. The other thing is...
It's confrontational to say we're open for business.
It is in the context of putting it in the state.
Because you even agree that the Minnesota legislature has not done enough to make the
let me go back here.
Business friendly, right?
I do not believe that was put there as a confrontational sign to poke you guys in the eyes. I actually think what you are doing, and I know that may sound like an attack, but by you bringing it to the forefront, to me, it appears that you are the one who's making most more of the issue than anybody else ever thought. And no, I haven't seen the sign, but I've heard what it says. I just think that you're making more of it than what it really is and causing the controversy and making the division much deeper and wider than probably what was there before. That's just how I feel.
No, anybody can have different views on this. What I would say is there's probably 20,000 people that drive by that sign each day. There is no way that you don't address it. Had this sign been in Fargo, I think I actually would have been less objected. You're putting this sign right in the middle of Moorhead. You're putting it in a community of 40,000 people, and you suggest that North Dakota is the only place to do business. And as I explained before, in Moorhead, Fargo, West Fargo Chamber, we're trying to bring business to the entire metro area, and this is...
We're going to keep moving. I appreciate the call, Deb. Thank you. Others waiting to weigh in, including Larry, who's next. Larry, quickly go ahead for Mark Hedelmeyer, City of Moorhead City Council member.
Well, first off, I have seen the sign, and I want an answer instead of you dodging the question this time. Did not your Minnesota State Legislature vote to restrict the amount of coal-fired electricity purchased from North Dakota? Yes or no?
Yeah, I actually don't know. That's not something I'm keeping track of. The point, though, I think you make a very good point in what I'm trying to do, and that is de-escalate this situation. Because we can point fingers across the border at issues that seem to upset or confront people from different states, and that's my effort here is to de-escalate that notion. And I believe this sign is that divider, not the uniter.
I think Larry's point is the Minnesota went first, at least in firing that shot, right? Because that's an issue that's actually in the courts.
We can talk about firing shots across all kinds of things, like out-of-state residents can't hunt the first week during opening seasons. We can talk all kinds of things where one state has sheltered and done things. I would like not to go there. It doesn't benefit us to go there and look at the past where we think we've...
Mark, I never saw Minnesota complaining when North Dakota was losing population, most of which went to Minneapolis and St. Paul and to Minnesota. Let's go back to the phone calls. Rose, what's on your mind?
Hello?
Go ahead, Rose.
I'm calling in. I haven't seen the sign or that, but I have lived in Minnesota all my life. And in my opinion, since Dayton has been in there for governor, this state has gone downhill. And I believe, in my opinion, that North Dakota is a Christian state, and they do not have gay marriage there, and we might even think about moving there, because it just totally upset me in this state.
Rose is for the sign. How about the folks you're hearing from, your constituents in Moorhead?
Everybody is against that sign and take it kind of as that divider.
All right, one last quick call here. Let's get Darwin in. Darwin's calling from somewhere in North Dakota. Your take on it, Darwin? You there, Darwin?
Yes.
All right, we're having trouble hearing you. Bad connection. Sorry, let's try Jeff in Valley City. Jeff, quickly go ahead.
Hi there. I'm just going to say, why don't he put up a sign that says Minnesota's up for open for business?
That is that discussion again that I'm trying to. We're not looking to divide across the line here.
Why don't you put up a sign and say, "Hey, so are we," next to it.
How do you spell na-na-na-na-na?
It does no good to continue to divide us.
Interesting take. Mark Hedelmeyer, thanks for taking the call
today.
In the hot seat, obviously.
Oh, it's great.
Yes,
it's great. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Steve Bakken, so long, my friend. We'll do it all over again. What's on your mind radio.com. What's on your mind radio.com if you want to weigh in when we're off the air. We're back at it tomorrow morning right here. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit ButlerMachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
There's been a disaster, and most of you don't even realize the terrible danger we're in. Alex Jones has warned you for years to get a good food storage. We thought the danger was drought, or food delivered to our gas tanks, or our food sold to other countries, or food so expensive that only those on food stamps and welfare could afford it. But we have just experienced the most effective way to lose your freedom, liberty, and security without even a fight. Government regulation. After a 160-year tradition of self-reliance, the do-it-yourself and charitable Mormon food storage canneries in half the country are forced to shut down due to excessive government regulations. Grow your own food, more regulations. If you've ever been warned to get food while you can, this is it. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.